You're listening to Mornings
with Wendy Harmer
on ABC Radio Sydney. Sydney.
Wow, what a trip down memory lane. Val Gillet died at the weekend at the age of 89. She was, as I say, showbiz royalty. Amazing longevity in Australian showbiz. I mean, have a listen to this little package here of TV themes. These are just some of the TV shows that Val was in, and see how many you recognise.
I wish he could again, but that was on the outside, and things were different then.
Some classic TV themes there. Did you recognise them all? Flying Doctors, Homicide, Prisoner, Blue Heelers, Division 4. Val Gillet was in them all and much loved in all of them. But, of course, she has been around since vaudeville days. And I am pleased to welcome to the program her son, Marty Fields. Hello, Marty.
Hi, Wendy.
And condolences on your loss. I'm very sad that you've lost your lovely mum. I did have the opportunity to meet your mum years ago. I put together a book on women's comedy in Australia called
It's a Joke Choice.
That's right. And she wrote a beautiful essay there and told me all about her incredible career. And is it true? Well, it is true. She started on stage at the age of 4, didn't she?
That's true. Yeah. She used to go in and do her little tap classes and dance classes at Alicia Wren's studio down here in Melbourne. And she was only 4, and someone said, look, we need some kids to jump up at the Tivoli, and which is like, that's a bit like saying in sort of current terms, I suppose, okay, you're just walking past Channel 9 and we need you to just come on and read the news, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal. So she was a bunch of a few little kids who got dragged in there, and for some reason they just recognised that she had a bit of pizzazz, and she teamed up with a guy called Kevin Swain, Brett Swain, the actor's father, and they had this duo called Tip Top Tappers, and they were 5. Uh-huh. And they finished up being an actual headline spot at the Tivoli at the age of 5.
And your mum was known in the early days as the miniature Ginger Rogers.
Well, she was a good dancer, and she also handled comedy very well. That was the great. That was the thing, I suppose, that propelled her through her early career. Because she, as you know, Wendy, when there's two people on stage, not both of them can be funny. One of them needs to be very funny and the other one needs to be very good at making the other one funny. And that was Mum's specialty. She was known as the straight woman that everyone wanted to grab, and all the big-name comics wanted to work with her.
Well, she has a such an interesting career. So she starts out, we just sort of work through it in order, I guess, and she ended up, I like the way, I think she was played sort of 2 and 6, wasn't she, doing a little act here and there, but that came in very much in handy for the family budget, didn't it, that kind of dough in those days?
That was a lot of money.
What years are we talking here?
That would have been in the 30s. Which is, you know, that was big cash. My grandfather, they actually were based in Sydney and then came down to Melbourne when they were, I think Mum was about 6 or 7. My grandfather couldn't find work up there, so he came down here and eventually got a job as Mr. McRobertson's chauffeur, McRobertson's Chocolate, who created Cherry Ripe. He brought home all the chocolate you could possibly eat. So she grew up on chocolate, which was great. But they earned quite a bit of money that way through – her just, it wasn't meant to be the sole source of income, but at some point she finished up being the primary earner in the family because my grandmother didn't work. She was sort of ill through most of her life, as a matter of fact. So it was an interesting way to sort of derive income. But Mum sort of doubled up as well because she loved the theatre and the industry so much. She was in the shows at night and working as an usher in another theatre during the day.
Okay. And then she toured England during the Second World War. Tell us about that.
Well, she went over there to entertain the troops just as the war was finishing, but she was in London during the final months of the Blitzkrieg, so she endured all that. She lived there, hated it. She was there for about 2 years. She said it was cold, she was starving, she had no money. She was married to a guy who was no good, and he left her, and she was basically there all on her own, and then got picked up by these people over there, realising her potential as this great straight woman, but big names like Reg Varney and... Danny, you know, just basically anybody who was big in comedy picked her up, and she finished up touring North Africa after the war, entertaining the troops as they were sort of doing the cleanup, and then came back to Australia and got a job from a bloke called George Sawley, who ran Sawley's Review Company.
Yeah.
He recognised all her experience. She came back to Australia and she got the job as the director of Sawley's Review under a guy called Bobby Lebrun. Bob and Gracie ran that. And it was a bit like the Great Moscow Circus, but at a variety show, not circus. So they toured all over Australia, and that's where she eventually met Dad.
Right. Well, if you would like to join this conversation with perhaps some memories of Val Gillet and Maurie Fields, a fantastic showbiz couple, you can give us a call if you'd like, 1-300-222-702. And I'm speaking with Marty Fields, who's the son of Val Gillet and Maurie Fields, and an entertainer in his own right, of course. So Val, in the little essay that she wrote for me for this book, she said that she worked with Roy Rean.
Yes.
Now, Roy Rean was quite blue, wasn't he? He worked quite blue. I know a few of the women that I interviewed for that book thought he was a bit disgusting at times, actually.
Oh, indeed. But, you know, it wasn't really Mum's job
to judge his
content.
Quite
it was her job to react on stage. And basically she realised pretty early that he would get away with a lot more she was the one embarrassed on behalf of the audience.
Uh-huh. Now, the other thing about this too, of course, in those days, there were two pretty much – this is what the gals told me as well. There were pretty much two roles that you could play because it was all about the men, obviously, in the comedy sketches. And the gals would either be the sort of, you know, the ingenue, like, I mean, the pretty French maid. And they'd be tottering around in sort of high heels, little aprons and things, frilly aprons. Or you could be the battle axe wife, and then you'd have a rolling pin and you'd be in a dressing gown. So they were pretty much the only two roles that you could play. But, of course, and then comedy changed very much.
Oh, it did. But that was in sketches, keep in mind. Mum tended to specialise eventually in double acts.
Yep.
You know, she would come out with the comic. Because in those days, the concept of a comedian just coming up and telling jokes, that was for clubs, not for theatres. Mm-hmm. So that's why most of the as you look back through the history of comedy, if you go back 50 years, it's very rare to see someone on stage by themselves. For example, Bob Hope was with Bing Crosby. George Burns was with Gracie. Do you know what I mean?
They crosstalk. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a conversation that was funny rather than just standing there dealing out rope.
And so tell us about when Maurie met Val.
Well, Dad came and auditioned in a black-faced act called Skit and Scat with his friend. They were Sydney-based, and they were a couple of knockabout blokes who had played all the clubs and needed to get out of Sydney for various reasons. So they heard about this touring show, and they've turned up and auditioned, and Mum heard them sing and play and try and do some gags, and she said to the director, they seem versatile, they can both dance, their singing's great, but their jokes are terrible. So we could use them in the show. So she gave him a job. Now, the funny thing was the very first night they played with the show, they were first on. Dad and Kenny came out and did their banjo and trumpet blackface act, because back in those days that was okay. Nobody cared about that sort of stuff. And they came off and then knew that they had to go back on in a minute for another sketch or another routine or whatever. So they washed up all the black out of their faces into the bucket in the middle of the dressing room, not realising that this was the only bucket of water for everybody in the whole show. So for the rest of the show, if anyone wanted to dust off or try and change makeup or anything, they had a big bucket of black muck to clean off in, because it was a lot of work to go and get a bucket of water back then. There was not a lot of running water in the middle of a paddock, which is where they were set up.
Oh, yeah. And the interesting thing that Val talks about, of course, is that she was one of those who, and we hear about this all the time, that she and Maury were two of those who managed to make the transition from vaudeville to radio and then to TV. And a lot of people didn't get that far.
No, they certainly didn't. Particularly, radio people didn't survive because they had, as you say, a good head for radio. Yeah. Mum and Dad were reasonably good looking.
But your mother was a beauty. She was a really great beauty, I must say. What a good looking woman.
Yeah, she was pretty, wasn't she?
Yeah, she
absolutely.
Was. Yeah,
I think I skipped that gene, but
that's all right. Yeah. It's good to have one in the family.
Oh, my God. I lost 2 points on my license for the photo.
Oh, yeah. Boom, boom. Thank you. Yeah, well, let's...
But they did transition because they were easy to work with, and they also knew their comedy. So they fell into a situation with Channel 7, who was starting up a variety show called Sunnyside Up and needed a troupe of comedians.
I just happen to have a little bit of a theme here. What a funny show that was. Yeah. And I've got a little text here, Marty. There's Jenny from Elizabeth Bay. She says, it's lovely to hear the Sunnyside Up theme. I'm nearly 60, grew up in Melbourne, and as a little kid used to watch this program with my family. I'm sure a lot of the time it went over my head. Val and Maury were marvellous vaudevillians. They deserve our recognition and remembrance. And she also sends heartfelt condolences to your family.
Thank you.
Marty. But, so I was looking at a few photos there, and with Sid Halen, of course, the three of them were hilarious together.
Well, Honest John Gilbert.
Yes, that's right.
He's gone to God as well. In fact, they've all gone now. Bill Collins, he was the host of the show but also used to sit in on the sketches. So basically, and Rosie Sturgis sometimes jumped in, but then she moved to Channel 9 with Graham.
That's right.
So what great comedy minds, you know, all of them. Yeah. I mean, it was fantastic. When Mum and Dad got married, Honest John was Dad's best man and Sid Halen was standing there with flowers that he'd knocked off. And they were standing outside the church, and Honest John just whispered in Dad's ear, I wonder if the organist is going to give us four in.
Well, I love that. And then Val, of course, she moved to TV drama, and what an amazing career she had there.
Yeah, she sure did. She did really well, but she actually did a lot of work with the early Crawford stuff and then parked it to look after me. She didn't want me to be a latchkey kid, because I was actually born on the set of Sunnyside
Up. Is that right?
Yeah, Mum was pregnant, getting thrown over couches and pies in the face and stuff with me, which, again, might attribute to my head. But she then parked all that to look after me, knowing that Dad's career was just taking off. And Dad did very early Crawford stuff like The Long Arm and those sort of shows. But then he actually, a lot of people forget that Dad was one of the detectives on Homicide in the early days. So that was a regular gig. And then he just kept getting work with Crawfords and other sort of production groups back then. But he was also a painter, a house painter, which was extraordinary. And he's very good at it. So between all that, we earned enough money to buy our house in Albert Park, which we still have. And Mum lived there her whole life, as did I, until I moved out with my family. But it was, I suppose, Bellbird that really secured Dad's future, which was the ABC series. And Dad did that for 13 years.
Yeah. Well, of course, and all these shows we're talking about here, Homicide, Division 4, and all those absolutely iconic programs. Well,
I didn't mean to move away from Mum, by the way. It was just
No.
Her parameters for jobs were that she needed to be home before 9 for me to go to school and be home before 3:30. So she used to do bit parts. So that's where she did her Prisoners and all those sort of Crawford things. But after I was big and ugly enough, of course, the Flying Doctors came in, and that was a big break for her.
Okay. Well, we remember Val very much, and I'm going to leave it here, Marty, because I want to play just a little bit of a sketch that we've turned up. This is Maury and your mum and your dad singing on TV in the early 1990s from Hey Hey It's Saturday in 1992, I believe. So let's give it a burl. And as I say, condolences to you, Marty, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Wendy. I appreciate the time.
I'm coming up with it. Now I've got it. Like most people everywhere, we've had our wear and tear. And what my shop the rest of the world is, we don't even care. It's the only way to go. It's the only dream we know. We're contented just to be uncomplicated we. Don't dig any deeper, what you get is what you see. We're the only pay you'll find who have nothing on our mind. Hey, just keep playing that in my key
and watch my dreams become real.
I don't know, hate me, don't know.
I wanna tell you how happy I feel.
We've got nothing much to lose. We never get the blues. When you've been around as long as us, then everything's good news. It's the only way to go. It's the only dream we know. Hey, just keep playing that in my key
and watch my dreams become real.
Hold on though, hey please, don't go.
I wanna tell you how happy I feel.
We'll be happy till we die, my lovely dream and I. Relax until they take us to that stage up in the sky. It's the only way to go. It's the only dream we know.
All right.
It's a tricky bit. It's the only way to go. It's the only dream we know. It's the only.
Listening to Mornings
with Wendy Harmer
on ABC Radio Sydney.